Hey, Lex Coach Mike here, LexCoachMike.com. Love you guys to death. Man, special thanks to our friends at Crossover for sponsoring this. If you're not checked out the software for your games, please do so. I love it, I use it, and I highly recommend it. Anyway, today, John Galvin, Colorado College. You know, we get a lot of emails saying we need more MCLA top guys. We need more guys out west. Well, here's what we try to do. I found this coach to be unbelievably passionate, and his attention to detail is incredible. Got a 61-26 record out there, won a national championship back in 2006, I believe. 9-3 record in tournaments, year-end tournament. Pretty incredible. This podcast, you know, we start out talking about drills, and then we get into this huge philosophical discussion about having set looks in transition. I think you're going to love it. Again, I'm so humbled by your support of my site, and I think you're really going to enjoy this. Again, a little more on the philosophical side as we get into what are you going to do with your transition offense and how he sets his up with an invert, but not the kind of invert you might expect. Again, Lax Coach Mike, LaxCoachMike.com. Love this podcast. We'll have him back, I promise you. Coach John Galvin, University of Colorado.
Hey, Lax Coach Mike here, LaxCoachMike.com. Hey, you guys, we're in for a special treat today. You know, we work hard to bring the western half of the U.S. in, and we've been blessed to have a lot of great guys, and that's the case today. Coach John Galvin from University of Colorado. Coach, thanks so much for coming with us.
Well, thank you, Coach Mike. Thanks for having me. It's definitely a pleasure to be on the show.
Oh, this guy's got a great program. Hey, Coach, I want to talk about practice, but you want to give me just like a 30-second thumbnail sketch? I know the program's been around, what, at least 15 years, 20 years?
Yeah, you know, from probably the mid-60s or so, it's kind of continued on, and then, you know, it's kind of gone through some changes, and then, you know, as the MCLA has grown, it's definitely kind of continued to grow. So it's a program definitely continuing to, you know, get on the rise and building our culture kind of again in our fourth year with my staff here now. So it's been a good run for the last couple of years. So, but yeah, you know, as our practices go, just, you know, quick thumbnail sketch, really, you know, kind of in the beginning of the year, it always kind of boils down to fundamentals. I mean, getting into the stick work, the shooting, really kind of hammering home, you know, that first, you know, 35, 45 minutes somewhere in there, of just, you know, constant stick work, constant touches, as many reps as we can get guys and get them through. And that includes, you know, all players. So, we mix in whether or not it's our, you know, defensive middies to, or transition middies or pulls or LSMs, attackmen. We kind of mix them all into all sorts of different drills. You know, we even get our pulls into some shooting drills. Just, you know, again, it's all kind of hand motions and, again, just kind of continuing to work on those fundamentals.
Yeah, I think, the educated listeners know just how sophisticated these, MCLA programs are, the ones that are at the top of the list. And I know you guys do relatively heavy practice schedule in the fall too, right, Coach? How many practices do you run in the fall?
So what we actually did this past fall is we were pretty fortunate. So our university has gone through some changes just in construction. So normally what we do is we probably run, it's roughly about 4 weeks. We try to keep to exactly the same kind of schedule as the NCAA and how many hours we can actually practice a week. But really what we're doing is we're out there twice a week, on a Monday and Wednesday, and then our guys are in the weight room Monday, Wednesday, Friday. They're also running with a strength and conditioning coach as well on Thursday. So they've got a pretty full week kind of running through Monday through Friday. And then once about 3 weeks pass and we're done with our kind of on the field Monday, Tuesday, and then there's a couple Fridays thrown in there just with you know, what we're doing with the scrimmages or kind of our fall tournament. And this year, you know, we were fortunate that Coach Tierney, Coach Brown, and Trevor were invited us down to DU to play DU, Colorado College, and Adams State. So, you know, we're very fortunate with the teams that are around here and giving us the opportunity to play.
Oh, for sure, man.
You know, top ranked conference competition, and so, you know, we're again really fortunate that we have that. And so after that tournament, which I believe was that October.
Hey, John, let me slow you down there. Just so, I mean, sure. I want to make sure we get a lot of exposure for your program to our member base. I know you carry a full-size roster. Do you guys run cuts? I mean, I know you bring in a lot of guys.
We do. I mean, you know, we do have to cut some, but again, you know, we're going to carry a larger roster in the fall and then, you know, kind of hopefully get some player development through that. And then as the fall kind of progresses on and then into the spring, you know, we're going to probably take a pretty full-size roster, probably in that 52, 53. And again, we've actually been starting to redshirt some players as well. So, you know, it's a conversation with some guys that need to, you know, again, it's just kind of some development. We see some athleticism in some of these guys, and we want them to stay around and
be a part of
our program. So, you know, again, we carry a decent sized roster, but you know, I think anyone kind of in the lacrosse world, you know, kind of participating in kind of a, you know, the winner-based sport, I mean, you always end up with injuries. You always end up with, you know, some type of sickness that runs through the team, and you're going to have, you know, guys that are going to be missing practice for something. So, you know, trying to, again, keep a kind of a full roster where we can continue to practice and, you know, get those full field-type working drills. That's, you know, kind of, again, what we're trying to do. So, you know, again, as practice rolls along, you know, everything from fundamentals and then again kind of building on top of that from, you know, whether or not it's a 3v2 to a 5v4 to, you know, into, you know, not necessarily a lot of 6-on-6, but definitely a lot of transition type drills. And then we'll kind of always start, a bigger, you know, full field drill, whether that's with the face off, whether or not it was with a ride or a clear, you know, so some type of aspect of the game, that we need to work on, you know, whether or not it's, you know, kind of that 2-minute drill where we got to get the ball out of the zone and, you know, someone's in a zone ride, press ride, you know, depending on what type of situation it is. So always kind of starting our 6-on-6 or our full field drills with some type of situation that gives the guys, you know, a real life look at maybe a game time situation. So again, you know, having the full roster definitely helps with, getting guys practiced in that.
Yeah, let's break it down a little bit, Coach. So the guys come out and stretch, and then you got stick work for about 40 minutes or 30 minutes?
Correct. So we've kind of flip-flopped. You know, I don't know if there's a right answer, and I'd always love to hear exactly what it is. And, you know, we've toyed with guys coming out for the first 20 minutes and, you know, just doing a shooting drill. You know, no contact, you know, whatnot, shooting and a stick work drill, so kind of mixing it up, you know, kind of keeping two groups going, so we might have one cage doing shooting, one cage, you know, one group of guys doing stick work, and then, you know, poles maybe doing some footwork, and then, you know, some more stick work on that end, and then going to stretching. We've also kind of gone right into stretching, and then into the footwork, you know, stick work and shooting type of drills. So we kind of try to mix it up. You know, some days you feel like, wow, this really works, and then you can kind of continue to do it, and then it seems that the guys might come out a tiny bit flat, so you kind of flip back into something else, and then they come out. So you're always just trying to find your happy medium, and it's kind of reading your own guys and kind of picking up on their chemistry. And so once
so we're like 30-40 minutes in, and then you bring the pace back up with transition stuff.
Correct. So
okay.
Always kind of you might do a half field drill. You know, something I actually learned from the Michigan coaching staff is just kind of a quick 5v4 drill where guys are kind of moving in opposite circles inside the crease. And, you know, you have 5 offensive guys on the outside, 4 guys on
right.
the inside, and you're just kind of moving in opposite directions. Coach rolls the ball out, and, you know, we work on the scoop pass aspect. You know, always our second pass is what we call a hinge. So if a guy picks up a ball, you know, we want to move it to the next guy, and he's going to hinge it to the backside.
Kind of like a little bit of Jamie Monroe philosophy out there.
A little bit. Terminology.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, again, you know, we have our own terminology. It's kind of like talking about another language. And, you know, just from kind of picking it up from, you know, coaches from all over, it just gets the guys, instead of explaining, you know, with 10 words, you can kind of use one to get your point across. And, you know, guys can kind of run with it from there. So, but yeah, you know, our drill is like, you know, kind of a 54 drill. One guy picks up, you know, we make sure all guys get spread out so you have all your adjacent possibilities. You know, whether or not it's kind of on a low wing, you
right.
can move the ball through X, you can move the ball up top. And again, it's a hinge always on that second pass. And, you know, we just want to find, you know, and as the defense always, you know, they start kind of understanding kind of what we're doing and they might cheat to a skip. And, so again, it gives our guys the opportunity to kind of look for that next adjacent or actually find skips. So it helps them just, you know, really just kind of see the field a little bit. And, again, that's kind of what our offense is always predicated on. But,
When you use the word hinge, you're basically talking about strong side to weak side on the second pass.
Correct.
Okay.
It's your, so, you know, if you're thinking about a dodge that comes down.
Right.
Well, whether that comes down an alley or even comes up from, you know.
No, actually, I like that term. It's kind of metaphorical. You like that, man? I use metaphorical in a sentence.
That's right.
Like big time education.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
most
right.
of the listeners don't know. Talking off the air, Coach Galvin, the stud at Ohio Wesleyan. I went to Ohio Wesleyan for a year. They asked me to leave. So I had to pick that up by watching soap operas. I'm sure you got it from that quality education with the OWU guys.
Absolutely.
Attaboy.
The OWU education, you know it. So, but you know, it's a read and react type drill. And again, you know, we're trying to keep everything on a clock, you know, everything that we do, you know, whether or not it's me with a hand count or it's, you know, one of my assistants, you know, it's just kind of keeping a mental clock in their head. I guess it kind of hurts and also helps because sometimes the guys start rushing and you kind of go back to that John Wooden quote, you know, be quick, but, you know, or, you know, don't be quick, but, you know, you don't hurry, right? You know, you just got to kind of keep yourself into a position where you don't want to hurry.
It's funny you said that because, man, I always quote that to my teams and then I can never remember exactly what it was. Be quick, but don't hurry.
Be quick, but don't hurry. Exactly.
Don't hurry, but be quick or something. I don't know. That's why Wooden has all those trophies, and I'm coaching club out here in Georgia.
That's right. So, you know, we try to keep them moving, and that's just the pace that we want to be at. You know, we want to be quick enough that we're not hurrying anything, but we also want to be in a position where we're moving the ball quick enough that we're also getting those dodges those two-on-one type looks. So anything that we're doing is always on a clock, you know, even when we're doing transition drills.
Coach, are you a 7-minute guy, a 10-minute guy, a 12-minute guy on these drills?
You know,
where do you like to keep that?
I'm pretty much anywhere between 7 and 10. I don't think really running anything over 10. I think the guys start kind of getting their, you know, they kind of start getting into a little bit of a mode where the drill's kind of dragging on. You know, the only thing that we'll run that makes it a little bit longer is we'll do a drill that is maybe, you know, some type of 6-on-6 or 6-on-5 drill. But again, we'll have a complete switch over where all of our middies now end up going up to the offensive side or all of our middies going up to the defensive side. So, you know, the attack may get some extra reps by doing, you know, maybe a 6-on-6 or like a 6v5 type drill.
Yeah, so that one might stretch to like 12 minutes or something.
That might stretch to about 12.
Yeah.
You know, maybe max is 14. But again, the middies are only playing offense for 7. Then playing defense for another 7.
Right.
So, and again, it's a wholesale switch, you know, so it doesn't matter if, you know, you think, you know, if our midfielder, you know, he's our first line guy and, you know, he's our, you know, always a guy getting a pull, well, he's going to be playing defense, you know, and, or, you know, the guy that's, you know, pretty much going to be staying on that transition side of the field, you know, we want him playing a little bit of offense. We want him kind of learning, you know, to get the ball moving a little bit, working with the attack. And I think it's just kind of a chemistry thing where, you know, again, you're getting close defensemen working with guys who might not always be down the defensive side of the field, but, you know, again, you get to know their tendencies. And again, that's kind of where the chemistry all kind of comes together. So,
no, you and I were talking, last week off the air, and I try and keep these podcasts timeless, you know, so people can listen to them at any time. And it's not like, you know, in a silo of this season or that season or this group of guys or that group of guys, but, you know, more the coaching philosophy, but, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say you and I were talking. We're coming right off that, you know, Lars Tiffany podcast where he talked about, you know, all of a sudden they analyzed that their D-mids were playing 40 minutes and their O-mids were playing a shorter period of time. And I think, you know, this is something more just like in the last month or so. You know, we've seen top coaches really put at least even time, you know, with the D-mids and the poles.
Oh, yeah.
Not just the LSM, but the poles, you know.
Correct.
Bringing those guys in and you know, I'm not sure, man. I think the size of the box, we just don't see that many pure fast breaks, you know, the way you do in high school ball, or even less now with the size of the box because the D-mids can get on or you can make subs or if they're not coming back the other way, whatever. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I think if you're not doing that with your teams from a coaching perspective,
correct,
it certainly makes a lot of sense. And I know I haven't done it justice. You know, just in the last 2 weeks, I've done a lot more.
Sure, you know, and again, that's kind of where we always kind of pick up is, you know, I think our game, you know, we've been you know, in the process of, you know, over the last couple of years, you know, trying to, you know, again, it's fun to kind of now, you know, you're always reading about, you know, the Tufts players, and now, you know, you get to watch, you know, Brown on TV, and you get to watch kind of these transition teams kind of moving up and down, and we're really fortunate to watch it and, you know, kind of explain to our guys, you know, again, this is kind of what we've been trying to do. And, you know, I, you know, a lot of my stuff actually comes from basketball. I mean, you can,
yeah.
You know, I wasn't a very good basketball player. I was a hockey player. So, you know, again, reading the books is the,
I got a D in a college gym class on basketball one time, man. My dad called the guy, said, how many classes did he go to? And the guy said he went to all the classes. He just sucks, you know. I mean, he can't shoot free throws. He can't do reverse layups, you know. And he's got a bad attitude, you know. Well, yeah, if you miss 9 out of 10 instead of making 9 out of 10, you got a bad attitude. But
that's right. So, you know, the just the idea of, you know, we actually put in almost like a transition offense. It's like it's our 22nd offense that pretty much the entire team, well, the exact, actually, everyone from the goalies to our close defensemen know how to run our transition offense. And, you know, I was kind of flipping through a couple different books on Amazon, just kind of wanted to kind of get an idea of what, you know, maybe, you know, the Kentuckys and all the rest of the teams do. And I ended up finding a book that was, it almost seemed like it was kind of like a high school basketball book to how to run, you know, a transition basketball team in high school. And I ended up just kind of buying, and it looks like a floppy kind of coloring book, and reading through it, you just kind of start picking up on what they're trying to do on a transition basketball court. And, you know, we ended up kind of picking up a lot of it, you know, running, you know, some of the down skills, you know, running up skills off the ball, you know, and, you know, having our poles run straight down and kind of getting more into a, you know, a flat break type of situation where, you know, poles can kind of pick either side and, you know, having guys kind of move for them. And so, you know, all of our guys are kind of in that situation where, again, we put them on a clock, you know, it's always about 20 seconds by the time that we get the ball from a goalie to a pole down to the attack is about 20 seconds to, you know, get a shot off. And, you know, we want to kind of push that ball in transition and get an opportunity. And, you know, I think a lot of teams, you know, especially, you know, even in our league, and when you watch a lot of Division I games now on ESPN, I mean, they're so good at the 6-on-6 settle defense. I mean, it's tough. I mean, you got great athletes at the defensive midi zone, and, you know, most of the guys aren't going to dodge on a long stick anymore. So, you know, that takes someone out of the game. So you're trying to create something, you know, when teams aren't quite settled. And that was kind of our big philosophy. And, you know, even being out here, you know, I work at a Pac-12 institution, and, you know, everyone always kind of talks about the Oregon mentality and how fast it is, and, you know, it's hard for teams to prepare for them. And, you know, again, that's kind of our thought process, that, you know, if we can push the ball in that 20 seconds and keep that momentum going throughout that offensive set, and, you know, quickly run, you know, our middies off on a change if we had to, or get subs on, you know, we're not really waiting on the ball. And, you know, when we spin it, we spin the ball, catch our, you know, again, we have terms for everything. You know, we kind of use the, I guess, the Western terminology of our rodeos and cowboys. And, you know, we send, you know, send our cowboys straight into the goal and, you know, try to get a dodge. And so, you know, we're trying to, again, create. And, you know, it probably gives, our defensive coordinator some gray hairs at most times. But again, you know, we're trying to create on a constant, all angles of the field. Whether or not we're in transition, whether or not we're on offense. So, you know, the offensive side, you know, again, it starts. And I think, you know, even just listening to Coach Tiffany's, you know, podcast with you, it's, you know, it starts with our poles. It starts with our transition guys. It, you know, they've got to get the ball up the field and move it quick and, you know, be able to stay on the field and be a threat. So, again, you know, we're trying to, you know, emulate some of those programs. And, you know, again, we've tried to, you know, continue to grow our situation here where, you know, I think when our staff first came in, we just kind of felt like we wanted to do something different. And I think, you know, we're
John,
so fortunate.
Can I ask you a couple of questions about this?
Sure, go ahead.
You know, I was really surprised. I think maybe right when we started this project, like 5 years ago, you know, one of the first interviews we did was with the Syracuse guys. And I was a little surprised in that any time they won a face-off, they had a look that they went into before they subbed, you know?
Right.
And I mean, I hesitate, you know, I'm not a big play guy, and I hesitate to use the word play.
Right.
But they had a look, you know, and whether that was, you know, bringing it down and banging it through X to get it to the weak side into a pass and pick or a backside cut or, you know, off a pick or, I mean, whatever it turned, I mean, back in those days, teams weren't running picks 5 years ago the way they are now, but, you know, some kind of look. And I thought that was ingenious because it kind of, and then they would sub afterwards, you know, they would always try and get a look. You know, I can remember Jancic at Gettysburg, he always had a 5v5, again, I want to say look instead of the word play, because nothing in lacrosse ever works out the way you draw it up all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But at the end of the day, you know, he was running even if they were taking their Fogo off, he had a 5v5 look where they would press the action and try and catch somebody in a sub or something like that. And, you know, it just seemed so, ingenious to me. You know, that we started to implement that kind of stuff and recommend, you know, to the high school guys that had Fogos because, I mean, you know, just the cold hard facts are a lot of times the Fogos are not the best ball carrier and just leave it there, you know. So they wanted to give everybody a comfort level. And I think more so at the end of last year and this year, we're starting to hear this word, and a lot of guys have their own terminology for it. But like a transition offense. If we bring it down and the pure break, you know, whether it's your L or a flat, or I don't think too many guys are running a guy at X anymore, but some guys are circling a guy back there. You know, if that's not there, what are we going to do with the ball without just absolutely stepping in, stepping out, running the subs, and giving the other team a chance to really get set up to your point where it is so significantly more difficult? You know, in a straight 6v6, especially if you're playing a really high caliber team and you guys, I mean, the schedule you play is off the chart. So can we get into this a little bit? I mean, when you say transition, we're going to bring it down and maybe it's not there right away and maybe we're going to go to a hinge through X or whatever it is.
Right.
What kind of and I know, you know, Ricky Soule, you know, at Navy now, he kind of bangs it through X and then they go right into a pass and pick with a backside pick. And if those two aren't there, then they pull it out. Is this like a this word, this transition period? And you know, when a lot of high school coaches and rec coaches hear transition, they think fast break. You know, it's really not a fast break. It's how can we capitalize on a one-man advantage even in a 4 or 5 second, you know, window?
Right. Well, you know, so, even when we kind of get into if it's a 4v4, if it's a 5v5, I mean, you know, those are sets that, again, they're odd sets. So, you know, if you're in a 4v4, whether or not, you know, you're in a box diamond, something, someone's got to either side from an adjacent, someone's got to help from an adjacent. Even if you're in a, you know, a two, you know, counting from kind of GLE and up, if you're in kind of a 2-3-ish box of some sort, you know, kind of an umbrella type look in a 5v5 set, I mean, at some point, someone's going to have to kind of, you know, step into a lane to try to help. And if they don't, you know, again, we're trying to teach our guys to turn the corner. So, you know, our biggest philosophy with that is that, you know, we don't want to bring the ball through X. And the reason being is that we want to create above GLE. I mean, we're not going to score any goals behind the goal. So if we can take away that one pass that maybe goes from X, and if we can make that pass above GLE. So, you know, for instance, our midi comes down, you know, throws an early look to one of our attackmen, you know, and it's great when, you know, we're not getting pressed, you know, at the wings. And, you know, that attackman, really what we tell them is to curl upfield and go. I mean, that's our first and foremost look is, you know, our attackman turning a corner and trying to get to, you know, what we call as a block is just, you know, kind of that 7-7 spot, you know, or maybe just outside of it where he can turn the corner. You know, most likely it's whichever way the ball's coming, it's a strong lefty or strong righty. You know, as he comes and turns up the field and we set that down seal with that midi, you know, again, we've got two options. One, we turn the corner and shoot. And in another great situation is that we can turn and spike the ball, which is just kind of our, you know, across the body look in back to our midi who threw the ball down. And now we've got an invert situation. So we've got two situations that, you know, again, kind of create two guys that have to play something. So if we turn the ball upfield, we turn and look to shoot and turn the corner. If we have to maybe, you know, if we catch an adjacent where he has to kind of come down, maybe we have something upfield. But again, once we turn and spike, you know, and that guy continues on his way through towards the backside, you know, again, we inverts are kind of part of the game where if you think about any 6-on-6 invert, you know, a team either goes into, you know, a single man five, they might go into a zone, they might go into some type of box and one, they might go into something. So everyone always has something for an invert. But if you can get that on transition, I mean, it seems that, you know, nobody necessarily has anything ready for an invert in transition that all of a sudden now creates, you got to go from an adjacent, you got to go from somewhere. Now, again, there is some personnel with that. I mean, I think all our D-middies and transition guys are, you know, are capable of doing that. And, you know, we're fortunate to have that. But, again, as you look into the realm of, you know, Division One or even D3, I mean, you watch some of the games from this past weekend or weekend before, and you see some of these, you know, defensive middies. I mean, they're pretty darn good athletes. I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure if they caught one of the offensive guys who maybe isn't the best defensive player on a low wing dodge, it's going to be a pretty tough dodge for them to stop. And, you know, our D-middie is kind of understanding, you know, we want to take a good shot if we get that opportunity, and, you know, we want to be kind of in a corner or miss position where, one, we challenge the goalie, you know, we don't want to put a ball into a, you know, into a stick side high type easy, you know, basically a turnover type shot that the ball gets now again back down our throat, and now we have to get back on D. And,
well, and
again,
that's a danger. That's a danger.
But that's, exactly. And you got to, you know, I remember hearing John Donowski speak at, you know, the IMLCA conference, you know, this was a while back, and, you know, some of his things was, you know, the beginning of the year, you got to kind of bite your tongue a little bit. And, you know, the more you kind of, you know, say, oh, don't do this and don't do that, the guys will never do it. You know, and so it's almost like you got to teach them kind of the right looks and teach them the right reads and kind of reacting to their own instincts. And again, that's kind of our piece to transition where, you know, we have one attackman turning up. And let's say we have a guy who's been down a defensive side for now a minute 45. You know, our attackmen have to be smart enough to kind of read that. Even if they do spike it and the guy's not quite ready to kind of go, you know, we have more middies now kind of slamming straight down at them, ready to catch, you know, kind of those north-south dodges, you know, maybe even a two-man game with that same side where we catch another middie, he throws it back up to him and he can set a quick little upseal. So we kind of can continue to run this little game on one side all along, where now we even have guys subbing and we have maybe one guy coming out of the box. And I think even last year you saw Penn do it quite a bit where, you know, they would throw kind of a ball across the field and catch a guy out of the box, and, you know, he's at full speed, and now you have a D middy or an O middy or even a pole kind of stuck at the top of the box flat footed, and you can get a guy that hopefully run by him and again create a little bit of offense quick. So, you know, within the time of, you know, maybe 20 seconds and now, you know, maybe call it another 15 or 20 seconds with a sub and you catch another guy coming out of the box, and then you're maybe at a total of 40 seconds and maybe you've created at least one shot in 40 seconds, maybe two, because you pick the ball up the end line, you get another guy coming out of the box. So you're trying to create this kind of, you know, quick paced offense. But, you know, you gotta kind of live and die by the sword.
No, it's good stuff, man. And I,
you know, at some point, you know, you're going to get caught in transition, and you know your poles have got to be ready to deal with that and deal with the odd man situations. And again, it's something that we work on, you know, in practice. We work on, you know, our poles up at the restraining box and kind of lobbing a ball into the middle and kind of having a little bit of a scrum where, you know, they gotta, you know, we kind of make our we give it to the advantage of the offense where we make our offense kind of, they're going to be able to pick it up, but they're running back into the hole and the attackmen are pushing down, and, you know, so they have to kind of, you know, play the cat and mouse game. Am I going to go? Am I not going to go? So, but again, it all kind of comes back to, you know, we want to run this transition style, and at some point, you know, we'll get caught in it. If we can limit a team's opportunities, and we're successful if a team looks at a transition opportunity, looks at an odd man set, and all of a sudden, they don't have anything. We get a guy back. They turn the ball out and roll the ball out for the corner. And now they're just kind of throwing the ball around. I mean, that's a success for us. Now we can play six on six. And now we're ready to do it. So, you know, the more that we can do that and turn the ball away, you know, again, that's a successful stop for us. You know, we didn't turn the ball over and, you know, pick it back up and go. But we stopped the transition. We got into six on six. And at least we're giving ourselves, you know, the chance that we want. Out of six on six So,
yeah, man, you said so much there. Let me go back and reinforce some of that. You know, I think one of the very first times, you know, and to me, Mike Daly at Tufts is such an unbelievable coach. I mean, here's a guy that never played lacrosse, coached hardly any lacrosse. I think he was a special teams coach, you know, for the football team
football,
when he took
yep.
over the lacrosse program. And, you know, I mean, they're just, you know, Katie barred the door transition in practice, in the cafeteria, in getting dressed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, they're on the move. And, you know, but when you hear Coach Daly talk, he's a wonderful speaker. If you ever get a chance, you got to go. You know, he makes the point that if you're going to be a transition team, you're going to be susceptible to transition.
Correct.
And as a coach, you can't be screaming at the kids for getting caught coming back the other way if you're screaming at them to push it.
Right.
You know, and hopefully, you know, you get more possessions, or because you practice in transition or run the lob drills back into the center of the field, or
right.
scrambles where the guys are coming back, and, you know, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the critical decision is, do the poles come and try and check the guy's stick if the ball go out of bounds or play it, or do they, you know, they drop back and be safe? You know, and I have a hard time with teams I coach because I like them to be aggressive, and, you know, as soon as it looks like the ball's coming away, those guys are all running back in, and we end up conceding, you know, a 4v3 or a 5v4 or whatever it turns
right.
out. Anyway, I want to go back to the transition offense 1 second.
Sure.
Man, I made a killing as a high school coach, you know, running inverts. But
right.
and you made a comment, you know, rather cavalierly, you know, we practice this, we practice that, we practice this. For the high school coaches and the rec coaches, you know, this is a great idea. When you get into these transition things, if you can go right into an invert scenario. But I want to mention to the guys, you know, one of the things that's worked for me and we've passed on to a lot of high school coaches, I think everybody runs attack drills, coach, where, you know, the guy starts at X and he goes one way and he rolls back
right.
the other way and he comes up to the island or whatever phrase the coach is using, you know, that year or whatever term is in vogue, and he does an inside roll or he comes around and shoots or, you know, he does a tight inside roll, you know, bringing the stick down low. I mean, whatever it is, you know, you most guys run those drills with their attackmen.
Yeah.
And if you put your middies in that drill, you know, 3 or 4 times in the early season, I think you start to get a feel for which middies can carry the ball.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, at X. And sometimes it's not your athletic middie. Sometimes it's not your post-up shooter middie. You know, I mean, some guys just have a knack for, you know, perhaps in the old days it was all one-hand cradles, and now, you know, it seems to be more two-hand cradles. Guys are coaching.
Correct.
A little change in the game. But at the end of the day, you know, run your middies from X in your attack drills. And
yep.
when you come up with 2 or 3 guys, they all of a sudden become your invert guys.
Right.
You know, and then I think the next message is that if you're going to run an invert guy in your transition offense, I think that's incredible. I love it. I do it. I believe in it. But at the end of the day, you've got to tell that middie that the first time around he may get a look. Other than that, he's going to get killed. You
right.
know? And I think especially at the high school level, when they see a guy in an invert, the whole defense just slides and collapses early.
Well, all
you know?
their eyes are on it. It creates a situation that makes people a little bit uncomfortable. And, you know, and when our middies go
in. Yeah, my point is, more often than not, he's got to look up. Because
right.
the invert guy, I think more often that he may come around and score the first time. He may even get another one. But after that, the attention level on him is going to be so accelerated that he becomes a feeder, even though he's an invert middie.
Right. And, you know, and where we're kind of dodging from it, it's, you know, if you kind of broke it up even to, you know, it's kind of that low wing, you know, GOE kind of area, you know, kind of on that one side, you know, we're not necessarily directly at X, kind of off that wing, but below GOE, kind of maybe, depending on kind of where that spike happens, they could be maybe a few steps above it, but in most cases, they're probably right at GOE or right below it. So, again, you know, we're telling our you know, our transition guys, you know, one, stay strong hand. You know, I know that's kind of a, you know, maybe a little bit of a box mentality, but, you know, we want them to be in their strong hand. So if they are on that righty side, you know, we want them to, you know, jab with their left foot and try to sweep top side, or, you know, jab with their right foot and try to come underneath and really try to make that, you know, that one move where they can come underneath and maybe roll back. So, you know, when we go into shooting drills, you know, everything kind of starts off with that jab.
Great.
You know, anything that we
great
do, anything that we do shooting is, it's always a jab first. It's always something that, you know, they're going to jab to, step down, stand time and rim shot. You know, of course, every team loves to do that where they can time and rim. But the thing is that, you know, again, with our guys, what we try to teach them is that first step, is that first jab, get some separation, some space. And, you know, that works just as well as an inside roll dodge. I mean, if you can get a guy, now all of a sudden, one, that maybe who just ran down with our transition doesn't want to play defense. Hopefully he's an offensive guy who hates defense regardless. And now, you know, we get one quick hard jab and now we're moving upfield. You know, and now we're at, you know, maybe 8 yards and, you know, a couple of our guys can turn the corner and shoot. And, you know, again, if they can challenge a goalie, that's what we want. You know, that's again, and, you know, does it, you know, are we 100% on that? God, I wish I could say we were, but, you know, we're not. But again, we get enough opportunities off it that teams have to maybe turn their heads. So, you know, that's
so
just
John, what's
that,
the, what's the strategy, behind running that guy, a few yards above or below GLE from the wing as opposed to putting him at X? Are you trying to keep the defense sagged in so they can't sub and maybe
get that
backside look? Is that the reason?
Yeah,
or are you trying to develop a two-man game there after he goes?
It's a little bit of both. And I think
the biggest thing
that we're trying to get is we're trying to catch him at Jason. And that's going to be with whatever, wherever
we are
in transition, it's going to be, you know, there could be a 5-on-5. It could be kind of a 6-on-6. But I think we've got so many guys moving in our transition that, you know, we don't really have one guy stabilized inside, that we have so many guys kind of moving off to the backside, kind of like a little bit of overloads, kind of looking for that backside and then keeping.
Yeah, I meant overload, you know, more than two-man game. I get it.
Right. You know, kind of an overload on the weak side. And then, you know, you have your kind of your two-man set. And really your piece to your two-man set is even the guy coming out of the box, depending on what side of the field you're on. Or, you know, you have another midfielder up top that can also help as an adjacent, and that's where that hinge comes in, where the midi goes for a spike, he doesn't have anything, he runs upfield, throws to the midi that's, you know, maybe at the top of the box, he might have been, you know, a second guy in, and then that guy is throwing what we call the pond across, and now we're catching a midi, you know, running north and south.
Right.
So, you know, again, the idea is, you know, behind it is, you know, a little bit of spacing and really just trying to catch an adjacent. It's trying to see, you know, let our guys see where the slides are coming from. You know, we don't want a coma slide that, you know, someone's coming from someone's back, you know, because those guys really aren't used to that. And it's, I mean, you know, no one really is comfortable with that. I mean, the attackmen maybe are the best ones that can be comfortable. But, you know, a midi that maybe doesn't really, you know, we're not going to have our midis working on that a lot, just because of so many other things they have to work on. I mean, they got to work on defense, offense, I mean, rides and clears. I mean, they got to be, you know, the middies have to know every piece of the game. But if we can get them in one comfortable spot where they have, you know, maybe a series of two or three dodges that they can really work on and hone their skill on just by doing one step. I mean, for us, one step can let them see what they're good at. Can they jab with their left and kind of split and get back up to that righty top side? That's a really quick, simple split dodge, you know, and without changing hands. Can they jab with their left and then, you know, stop with their right and then come back underneath? Again, it's a kind of a, you know, maybe a little stutter step, maybe a split, you know, kind of a split underneath. So, you know, we've got those little steps can just help us kind of let them create their own game too. And I think that's, you know, something that we want them to do too. I mean, not every guy's going to be the same, and you know, some guys are going to be quicker and faster, and some guys are going to be better at going underneath than, you know, maybe some other guys. And some guy can really shoot off the turn. And so,
well, and
know,
at the risk of, yeah, at the risk of getting maybe too deep for a high school or a rec coach,
right?
You know, you keep hearing coach refer to this jab step, you know, and whether it's a jab step or if you're into the Jamie Monroe terminology, they've got three or four moves that they use there. But I mean, at the end of the day, I think middies have a tendency to run at that guy and immediately go into a split because, you know, the middies
right.
love that split look, okay? And if you expose the stick without creating the space with the jab that coach is talking about, he's going to get it taken away from him, you
right.
know? And creating that, so, you know, if you want to adopt this transition philosophy of coach's word spike and then into an invert, Don't leave this little part out, because if the middie just runs directly at the defender, even if it's an O-middie playing defense and he's uncomfortable and he's freaking and everything else, you know, if you show him that stick and he's 3 feet away from him, it makes it a
right.
The whole thing's going to fall apart, you know. So they got to set up that split. And you know, I think college coaches, you know, it's funny, man. Whenever we have a high school coach go to a college coach or his practice, John, you know, the first thing we hear is, I can't believe the attention to footwork. You know, because high school coaches don't think of footwork in the same vein. They think of as stick skills and touches and pace and transition and, you know, all the other concepts they get. But, you know, when you're coaching by yourself, it really slows down practice. You know, on our site coach, we call it 1.5 coaches. A lacrosse coach and a social studies teacher. No offense to social studies teachers, you know, at the lacrosse practice. And they have a tendency to bypass the footwork because guys are sticking around. You know,
right.
But your social studies teacher can run a drill with footwork.
Right.
You know, even if you're running transition and the other stuff. Is that
right.
Fair? I mean, I just wanted to...
Yeah, I mean,
it's such a key part of what you said.
You know, whether or not, you know, we're doing a, you know, an actual midfielder-oriented, you know, defensive kind of footwork, you know, getting a left foot high or right foot high, meaning like, you know, you're approaching a cone or kind of a dodge, you know, just depending on, you know, if we're doing that type of footwork, or even footwork for shooting. I mean, you know, even, you know, last week and even this week when we, you know, really kind of ramp back up in practice, I mean, again, everything kind of revolves around those first steps. It revolves around, you know, then you can start adding your hitches and your rolls. And, you know, if you can't get that first step down and you don't understand that step to separation, that hurts, because now, you know, the guy can let you step and you're going to show your stick, you're going to show something. So, I mean, and gosh, look, I mean, we talk, I probably could go hoarse from just talking to my guys, you know, every day, like, you know, get separation. And, you know, sometimes, you know, coach and I will stand, you know, they have a cone that they're going to hit, or, you know, the side of a pipe, you know, from a cage. And, you know, we use cages to get them separation. So they've got to jab and get to the next pipe before they shoot. So, and they got to really kind of use that stride to get there. And whether or not we're doing that or even just kind of a coach and a cone, you know, they jab and we just kind of, you know, throw a stick behind them so that, you know, if they're not far enough, you know, the 42 inches of a, you know, the stick is going to, you know, the 40 inches is going to, you know, catch them, you know, when their stick goes behind their head. So, you know, it's just, it's all about just kind of, again, the beginning steps of, you know, what we're going to try to have them do. And again, all of our middies do that, every single one of them. There isn't one midfielder that that you could walk up to on our team and ask them, you know, what our, you know, jab step shooting is, or, you know, jab to hitch, or, you know, something, you know, jab to something else, jab to seam pass, jab to, I mean, you can go through a list of different stuff that we have and they would all understand it, because all of them have to know it. And will they perform it, you know, every single game? Probably not, but maybe twice or three times in a season that could create a you know, an opportunity for us. And, you know, as they get better at it through the year, you know, when we gotta, you know, get into April and, you know, hopefully into May, if we're lucky, you know, maybe those things start coming to fruition. And but that's the piece of the season. It takes time to develop some of this. I mean, you could be doing it for 4 or 5 years. I mean, players are going to be different and they're going to have to develop just like the guys who you just graduated. You know, those guys at one point were the guys who are like, man, these guys just don't get it yet. And you're like, but they start doing it. You know, they'll come around. That's my point. They start coming around, which is always great to see. And it's the best thing about being a coach. So.
No, it is the best thing about being a coach. Hey, man, that's really, really good stuff. And I think that's probably what we'll feature in our article section. Coach, you got a new twist on a transition drill or something different you picked up from somebody, or something you picked up that you've integrated a new twist into?
Well, the one thing that, you know, transition drills, I mean, we do skeletal. We'll kind of do like a, we'll break down our transition into a, you know, a throwdown spike type of, you know, everyone kind of catches and shoots. But, you know, one drill that we actually do for more of stick work, and actually I kind of took it from Manchester United. It was, it's actually a 9-person passing drill, that we kind of use to kind of get guys to open up their bodies in different positions, and you know, you'll either throw a spike, you'll throw a long pass, so you kind of keep throwing all these different types of passes through, and so you know, it really kind of lets guys kind of find space. And what we do is we keep three guys down on the, basically on the end line, kind of from like the sideline to maybe the pipe. Three guys are maybe up by the, on the box, you know, again from like about the sideline to the pipe. And we got three guys in the middle, and each one of the guys in the middle have a ball. And, you know, they can start and throw to any one of the three guys on either side. And so once they throw the ball, down to someone, they've got to find space. They've got to stay away from the guys on the other two guys on the inside, and they can go back upfield. They can catch over their shoulder. They've got to, you know, be able to catch and turn their head and get upfield. And that's where once they catch the return pass and they turn upfield, they throw to the opposite side. So they've got to be able to look. You've got to get the guys on, you know, the restraining line side to, you know, talk, say, you know, Hey Johnny, here's the ball, you know, here's your help. So it helps them kind of, one, see and react to, you know, maybe some, you know, space that's going to get, you know, clogged up in the middle, and lets them find some open space, and then also find an open man, because there won't be one other guy on that, you know, on that three-man side that's, you know, occupied. He's throwing a ball to another guy. So they've got to really kind of pick their heads up and be able to find the man.
Man, you totally lost me here. I know. And that's not that hard to do. I mean, you know, there's 80, 90 coaches who've done that.
Yeah.
I will say it took you a little longer, you know, in the interview to really lose me. Most guys lose me in 8 or 9 minutes. But if you work on it, Coach, you'll get better at it. All right, so set this up. When you said three guys, I was thinking they were across the field. They're actually in line by the sideline.
So, you know, set up a field north-south. So, end line runs north-south. And so you have one guy on the south end line, and you have one guy in kind of that, you know, or, you know, in that kind of northern restraining line. So you have three guys across, call it, you know, 10 yards apart from each one of them. And they're running north and south. And you have 9 guys total. And when you
All right, so on the south end line, where do I have guys? I have a guy like a GLE or in a corner.
Yeah, so they're all standing up. This just happens standing on the end line. They're standing on the end line, and one's kind of on the sideline, one's kind of in the middle, and one's kind of like even with where the crease would be. So they're all looking at the players in the middle of the field. And, you know, again, this is kind of a, you know, you can make it as deep and as wide as you want. And it sounds confusing, but it's kind of like when you see it, the guys actually pick it up really quick. And
so those are the first three. Those are the first three lines.
Yeah. So that,
on
and
the
again,
south
this
end
is,
of the field.
This is just 9 guys. There's no lines behind anyone else. So you break the groups up. So if you know you do like a 4-man 2-ball type drill where you have you know, 2 guys in the middle, this is just kind of a constant stick work drill. So everyone's getting reps. So it's 9 guys per group, and for us, you know, we normally get about five or six groups, and we have to kind of, depending on the size, you know, size of each group, we have to kind of trim and, you know, kind of make them a little bit smaller. But there's 9 guys per group. So you have 3 guys on one side, you have 3 guys in the middle, and you got 3 guys kind of up at the top of the restraining arm.
And these 3 guys are across, like one on each side, one at the midfield X, and then 3 guys at the other restraining line?
Yeah, so you could make one at the midfield X, you can make one kind of in the middle, and one at the sideline.
Okay.
So they're kind of just spanned out, you know, and again, that's probably 10 yards between each one of them, something like that. And so the guys in the middle are the ones that are actually moving. And then you can add all sorts of other little tricks to it, but the guys in the middle are the ones that are moving. So they're going to throw to either side, either the guys on the end line or the guys on, call it the restraining line.
Okay.
And so once I throw, if I'm doing the drill and I throw to the north side, then I'm going to catch a return pass from that guy I just threw it to. So once that return pass comes, I've got to turn my head, I've got to look, I've got to make sure I'm not moving and kind of getting in the way, or, you know, I got to find space from the other 2 guys that are in the middle kind of doing the same thing. So I've got to either turn and roll away from the pressure. And they're not pressuring you, they're just doing their own thing. You're just kind of finding your own space.
Yeah.
So as you turn and go, now you're going to find, you have to go to the opposite side of the field or the opposite restraining line, and now you throw the ball to the other guy or any one of those three guys in the line. Again, you have to kind of pick your head up. You've got to get the guys in the restraining line communicating, you know, talking to whomever's coming up, you know, hey, Johnny, here's your help, here's your help. And again, he catches a return pass back. And so the guys in the middle are kind of, they're not moving in straight lines, kind of like a four-man, two-ball type drill. They're moving, whether or not side to side, they're kind of cutting upfield, they're cutting across the field. So they can move in really any direction they want. They just have to, one, create space for themselves and react to whoever's in the middle. It was a soccer drill that I picked up. It just, you know, guys were just, it was a lot of, just Manchester United used it as a kind of a touch drill where a pass would come up and then they have to touch
right.
it upfield. And so it just kind of, it gave the guys some space where they could open up their bodies, see where the other guys were and see who was occupied on one side and then kick the ball to another one. And I thought it was good because, you know, our guys kind of get so caught up with, you know, they don't find the space for themselves. They don't react to a situation, you know, so we want them to be able to kind of turn their head, look upfield and find an open man and, you know, zip the ball to them. And now from that piece and that point, find another area to go to. So again, trying to get them to move their feet and not just run in kind of a straight line pattern. It probably sounds a little more confusing than it already is. But then we do it to a point where we got, you know, only two balls inside and you got to throw it to a guy that's open. And then we run exchanges and spikes on the outside lines. So, you know, we get guys constantly moving. So everyone's getting touches. It's just, you know, and guys run it for, you know, about 20, 30 second reps. And then we just, you know, flip one side comes in, one side goes out. And then, you know, you flip another side, they go in, they go out. So you just kind of keep getting those. That group of three constantly moving into the middle and constantly moving, and then they're catching the ball on the outside. So again, it's just a constant rep drill. I mean, you talk to some of our guys and we go into Man U passing, they're probably touching the ball. Gosh, I mean, probably at least 100 times in the drill. I mean, just from how many times they're catching the ball on the side and then catching return passes. You know, so if we do that for 8 to 10 minutes, I mean, they're at least getting 100 touches of the ball. You know, and again, and how fast they want to move it. I mean, you know, I always harp on them, you know, it's the one cradle and out, you know, it's the quiet sticks. You know, we don't want them snapping at the ball. You know, something I learned from, Matt Brown, you know, from even going to camps where, you know, guys snapping at the ball, you know, tell them to keep their top hand over.
Right.
You know,
drives me nuts.
And I hate it. And so, you know, we, you know, guys that do that, you know, we make them keep their top hand open. You know, it's, you know, we make sure that, you know, they're not snapping at the ball. They're not rolling their wrist over. So, again, this kind of gets them into the mode where they've got to be able, they can't snap at the ball. They've got to catch, whip their head around, and snap the ball off. So it's kind of a very quick passing drill. And, again, you can make the distance as far as you want. And I'd be happy to send you kind of a diagram, too, of it if that helps.
That would help me a lot. And I'm just going to have anybody with questions email you.
But I
will say this. I know one of the dangers that I fall into all the time is, you know, even if we're running our transition drills from the far restraining line down, you know, when you go back and look at a film of practice, you know, I may practice 3 days. And the shorties have only thrown passes that are 15 to 20 yards, you know. And,
right.
And at least with this drill, you're varying the length of the passes, you know,
right.
at the same time. I mean, our poles are throwing long passes and, you know, we'll still
yep.
go back occasionally and run like, you know, monkey in the middle, sideline to sideline or two man
sure.
in the middle, you know, the four man, two ball and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I run into a trap all the time where I'll go back and look at the practice plans over a week as I'm starting to lay out the next week. And going, man, you know, we just didn't throw enough 25-yard passes or 30-yard passes with our
right.
shorties while they're running with their hands open, catching a ball behind their head or catching it with, I mean, all the things that you mentioned.
Yeah, and this is, it just changes. There's, you know, again, it's a varying degree of, you know, you can throw long, you can throw short. You know, if you catch and turn your head quick, you know, depending on also where you kind of cut after you throw the ball, that's kind of another thing. It teaches to kind of throw the ball down and then cut and then find open space. So you might cut across the field and catch an over the shoulder, and then turn your head upfield and then look. So it just teaches them to catch and move and constantly, not just constantly stop and just keep going in the same direction. Whereas, you know, I really like the four-man cue ball drills, and we actually use it a lot, but we use it as kind of a conditioning slash, you know, stick work type drill.
Right.
Where, you know the guys are going to get tired. Granted, you know, the man-u drill that we do now, you know, guys will get tired, but again, there's also, there's another piece to it, as you know, another bigger picture piece to it where, you know, they're running, you know, different cuts, they're catching over the shoulders, they're catching, you know, they're switching hands, they're making their own adjustments in their own game.
And again, it's going to be a transition team. You've got to do this. I mean, you've got to do this, you know.
You know, it's hard because sometimes, you know, giving all that freedom, you know, you kind of get to a position where you're like, man, we just can't be doing that. But that's the piece to it, too. You got to give the guys a little bit of freedom to be themselves, to be able to generate their own type of game and be able to kind of find what they're really good at. I mean, I can tell one guy, you know, hey, you're really good at this, and he's like, man, that just feels awkward when I do that. And yeah, I mean, he might, you know, take it as, you know, I'll keep working at it. Or, you know, I might not see something that he feels really good at, and he keeps working on it, And, you know, maybe over the course of time, he gets better. So, you know, this drill is it's just a new twist to a stick work drill, to a foot movement drill. You know, again, you can work on exchanges and spikes through it. You can work on all sorts of different, you know, variations, and, you know, we kind of keep flipping things in and out of it. And, you know, at least the guys, you know, they know they get a lot of touches and a lot of reps, and that's kind of the biggest piece to it. So.
Well, and, you know, the coaches that are listening that are still a little bit confused, the cool thing about it is, you know, listen to the concepts, because if you've got a JV team, or if you've got a rec team, or if you've got a high school team that's got a 22-man roster, you know, maybe you put these guys, you know, two guys in each station, you know?
Right. That's the thing. You can modify this drill to run it
just as easily as a six-man drill.
Correct.
You know what I mean? I mean, if you just don't have the kids, coach, you know?
Absolutely.
And you could accomplish, I mean, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, the object here is freedom to make choices, find space, different styles of passes and different styles of moving to get open. And you know, if you don't have a 52-man roster or a 42-man roster, just don't run it 9v9, you know, I mean, or
right,
just
correct.
Don't run it with nine men, you know, run it with
six. Well, I mean, we have got groups where, we might have 9-9-9, but as you get to the end of the line, you might end up having, you know, six. And, yeah, so
right.
Now what you got two guys on one side, and you got two guys on another, and now you got two guys working in the middle. And, yeah, you know what? Those guys are going to have to keep working, and that's part of it, too. So, you know, you can do it with, and you can still do it and make all the modifications with running one ball, two balls inside. You know, again, and once we run that one ball inside, we're running our, you know, catch, look to hinge and throw the ball up, get to the next guy, find space, motion. You know, catch the ball, look, hinge. So again, all of our turns, everything kind of keeps coming back, and we just keep doing it in, you know, whatever drill we're doing, whatever, it's always a, you know, a turn. It's always something that we're trying to, you know, swing the ball to the backside or scoop pass. I mean, concepts that, you know, probably every coach, you know, probably talks about. But again, it's the repetition and practice that, you know, we're trying to get for our guys that continue to do it. And again, it helps with transition. When I tell a guy, hey man, look for your spike, he's not looking at me like I'm speaking, you know, a different language, or you know, that he knows exactly what I'm talking about. You know, he's got the idea, and he's like, all right, you know, I'll look for it next time, and you know, that's fine, and that's okay. So, you know, again, we're everything we're doing is in that, you know, it gets back to, you know, what we do on transition. It gets back to what we do on defense. It gets back to what we do on offense. And, you know, it's, for us, it's about reading, reacting, finding space. You know, and it's, you know, it goes to, you know, every piece of the effort
when
we have the ball in our stick. So.
No, it's great stuff. Hey, can you believe we're coming up on an hour?
I cannot, no.
It's just the way it goes, man. It's not hard to understand why Colorado is such a successful program after getting to know you a little bit and spending the time on the phone. I love this transition concept. We'll probably write that one up. If Coach sends me a schematic on the Manchester passing, we will get that posted and let all the subscribers know about that too. Man, I can't even begin to thank you enough, Coach. Thanks so much for sharing a little bit about what you do to make Colorado so successful.
Well, I appreciate it, and thank you very much for the opportunity. It's been great, and I definitely very enjoyed it a lot. So, I really appreciate your time.
Well, you can rest assured that we will have you back on, man. This
that'd
is
be
just great.
great
stuff.
That'd be
hey,
great,
guys,
guys,
got any questions,
it.
Shoot me an email. Coach, stay on the line 1 second. Lax Coach Mike, laxcoachmike.com. Remember this, man. Got awesome responsibility and a privilege influencing the lives of these young people. Take it seriously every day. God bless everybody. Until next time.